Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a KedSource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KedSCM, the content marketing business inside KedSource Inc. So what does KedSCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KedSCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KedSCM.com. In this episode, we discuss the life of an NFL kicker, dumbing it down, and the transition from pro sports to entrepreneurship. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Mike Hollis, retired NFL kicker of 9 years. Mike played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills, and New York Giants. He represented the AFC in the 1998 Pro Bowl and presently ranks in the top 20 in overall field goal accuracy in NFL history. He is also the kicker that ended my team's run in the 1996 playoffs when his Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Buffalo Bills. Mike currently lives in Jacksonville, Florida, where he runs ProForm Kicking Academy and is a managing partner in a software development company focused in the meal prep market. Mike's examples of being clutch, having no excuses, and making things simple were on full display in our chat. His success on and off the field have us excited to feature him on this podcast. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Mike Hollis. Mike, I'm going to take you back now to 1996. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and the Buffalo Bills, who were coming off 4 Super Bowls in a row soon before that. And in comes this upstart team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, which you were the kicker of course. And showing up to that stadium, I remember it was cold, gray skies, it was late December, and no one thought the Bills were going to lose, and the Bills didn't think they were going to lose, but you were on this Jacksonville Jaguars team that had this belief. But you roll into the stadium, if I remember correctly, and the buses roll in, and there's snowballs being thrown at the buses. I think the buses might even be pushed around by the fans. What was it like, first of all, rolling into that stadium as the Jacksonville Jaguars are taking on the Buffalo Bills?
Well, it was very interesting. You know, it was one of my second year in the league, and obviously going into a playoff, you know, atmosphere, and one like Buffalo was even worse. But you know, we had our walkthrough in a parking lot, in a hotel parking lot in the snow in Buffalo on Saturday afternoon or something, and then of course, you know, or I'm not sure if the game was on Saturday or Sunday, but anyways, it was a very intense atmosphere. It was probably one of the most nervous games that I've ever been in, especially that first kick of the game. It was, you know, shorter kick, but my legs were shaking, and that wasn't ever a normal thing for me. I did get nervous for every game, but for whatever reason, that one I was really nervous. And you know, you're playing against guys like Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and all those guys from the great, you know, Buffalo Bills teams, and it was very intimidating. But you know, we just stayed focused and you know, just made plays, and everyone did their job for the most part. And you know, typically when everyone's on key and doing their job and playing their part, and you know, and you're out physicaling the other team, you know, good things are going to happen. So we just made sure we just kept our mistakes at a minimum and just you know, move forward and did as well as we could. And you know, yeah, being an underdog, it was kind of a, you know, in my opinion, I think it was an advantage for us, because as you might remember, the very next weekend we went and played Denver, who was almighty, you know, and I think they kind of, teams like, yep, that, they kind of overlook guys like us that are underdogs, and we were not expected to be in the playoffs, and we barely made it. But yeah, we just, we were hungry. We had a good team leadership and a really good mentor in Tom Coughlin, of course, but it was a very fun game. It was exciting.
It was exciting. I mean, we walked into the stadium, you know, just as from the fans' perspective, right? Like, you just didn't think anything different. Social media wasn't around then, so you didn't have as much knowledge about the Jaguars as you would today, of course, because, you know, you can know about everything in a couple minutes. But, you know, through the years and going to all those Bills games, like, no one really came into Buffalo and challenged them. Now, the Bills were getting older. You know, it was probably the beginning of the end for them, and it turned out to be Kelly's last game in the NFL. He got hurt that game. Mm-hmm. But, like, to watch and to think back to that moment to say, wow, here's this team that no one, you know, really thought could do anything and came in there. And it was a back-and-forth game, went down to the end, to come in there and then to actually come out and win. And like you said, go on to Denver the next week and beat Denver. I mean, two amazing teams in the 90s. in the NFL. You guys took them both down, and you had quite a you were a big participant in that game. I would say, you know, sometimes it, you could have to talk more about this, but just being a kicker in that game, you had some big kicks, and one in the fourth quarter, which I think relates a lot to what's going on in the NFL today with the Bears loss. You know, as we're recording this thing in the playoffs this year, where the kicker hits the upright and the crossbar and it doesn't go in. Well, you did the opposite. It hit it and then it did go in. Tell me a little bit about, like you said, you were nervous during this game. These are big moments for you, second year and, you know, going to this big environment. You had, how many kicks did you make in that game? And obviously the game winning kick in the fourth quarter.
I believe I was 3 for 3. And, yeah, you know, it was funny because the week before we were playing the Falcons. And if we win, we're in, of course, and, you know, the outcome of that game. But I did have a doinker in that game, too. It was actually a bad kick. I didn't kick it really well, and it hit the left upright and bounced through. So my luck actually extended the following week when I was in Buffalo, of course. But a lot of people ask me about that kick, and I got to tell you, that was probably one of the best kicks I've ever had in my entire NFL career. That wind in Buffalo was absolutely no joke. I mean, it was crazy, and it did switch up a little bit in the second half, and it was going kind of the opposite direction of what we thought. And it was a very crazy moment because, you know, as a kicker, when you hit a ball real well, the second you hit it, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I hit that really well, you know? So that was me. I hit the ball really well. I look up, it's going right down the middle from like 45 yards. And next thing you know, I get wiped out. A guy came from the end and from the Bills and was trying to block the field goal, but it was extremely late. And he knocked me over, you know, took my legs out from underneath me. And next thing you know, I'm looking at the sky. So the last time I saw the ball, it was going right down the middle. And then now I'm looking at this guy, and then I see Brian reach over and he, you know, helped me up. He's like, man, it went through. I'm like, well, what do you mean it went through? It was right down the middle, wasn't it? He goes, no, man, it hit the upright. I said, you got to be kidding me. It was, you know, you watch the replay, and I have it on my social media somewhere in my Instagram account, but you can see it. It takes a sharp right turn, and that wind really, really took control of it. But fortunately, I got the wind pushed it into the inside of the upright. That's where it bounced off the very top of the upright.
And that's it.
Fortunately went through. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they called it the swirling winds of Rich Stadium. And it was crazy. I mean, you would look early in the game and you see the flags and they'd be going one direction. They would swirl around and they'd go in another direction. And they talked about all the time. I mean, teams just had a hard time coming at quarterbacks, you know, whatever it is, because you just didn't know what the winds were going to do.
Right.
As a kicker, that's, you're probably paying attention to that the whole game, you know, trying to see like what's going on, what do I got to do, what do I got to think differently about. But takes guts to come in there and to have confidence in what you're doing. But I think my guess is you are confident in your abilities, and you go out there and you plan on making probably every single kick that you're putting up there.
Yeah.
And that goes way back for, I mean, I'm sure many years of you learning how to be a kicker, and part of it's probably form and talent and mindset, right?
Right. It's you know, what it is, it's really you know, people ask me like, how do you deal with it mentally? And you know, my answer is, you know, just my form and my technique were my mental, you know, help. I didn't really have to do any sort of, I didn't really do a lot of imagery or imaginations. I didn't really like think too much about, you know, visualizations. I didn't do any of that really. It's just if I could trust my form and knew that what I was doing was correct, and the ball ultimately is a result of what you do to kick it. So most kids think the opposite way. They think, oh, I got to make the ball go through those pipes, and that's the result. And if they're thinking about the result before they even, you know, before the snap is even coming, you know, they're now steering the ball or guiding the ball. I didn't do either. I didn't steer it or guide it or try to direct the ball where it went. I just lined up in the angle that I chose, and the form that I did made the ball go through the uprights. And so that was a big deal for me, you know, with my form and technique. That's what I really relied on, and not being the biggest guy in the world, obviously. So I really had to use my technique to even compete at that level. And you get confident with it. And it's almost like you put yourself in autopilot. I mean, there's if you're practicing, you know, and you're confident and you're kicking well and you're doing well, and you're hitting the ball good in warmups and all that, you really don't worry about anything. All you got to do is just put your foot on the ball, and it actually you dumb it down quite a bit and just let it roll. It's you know, there's a few things that you might think about that are important during the kick, but in a game situation, there's not a whole lot of time. Your mind kind of goes blank anyways. And you know, when the ball snaps, you just react, and hopefully you've created enough good habits in all your practices and all the hundreds and thousands of balls you've kicked, you know, prior to that moment and just kind of let that take care of itself.
I get it. So you're trusting what got you there. And I want to come back to that a little bit. Is that specific kick, going back to that one, is that your kick that you're most excited about when you think back to your playing days? Or is there another story that you have about another kick that you made?
You know, prior, actually that same year in preseason. So I had my first season in Jacksonville. I was like 20 of 27 on field goals. And, you know, I'm a rookie and I'm like, well, I'm just hoping I get another opportunity to play for the Jaguars again. And, you know, they signed me for another 1 year deal and I'm playing and I'm preseason. And of course there's another guy in there training camp, but I didn't have a great training camp and I wasn't kicking really great in preseason the first couple games. And I think I had missed like 3 field goals in a row prior to this one specific kick, and it happened to be a 59-yard field goal in St. Louis against the Rams in preseason of 96. And I think it was like originally a 54-yard attempt, and we had a 5-yard penalty. And I was thinking I was going to come off the sideline, we were going to punt, but it was at the end of the half. And Tom Coughlin was like, man, I think obviously he was confident I could make it because he kept me in there. And I drilled it. I hit it really well. That was another kick that I can say was probably one of my better kicks in my NFL career. So, you know, long story short, that kick there was kind of a turning point in my career, my NFL career, because it really kind of gave me a lot of confidence, having missed 3 in a row prior to that. And once I made that, I was kind of on a roll. And that season, I think I finished 30-36, and I was an alternate to the Pro Bowl. And you know, obviously the playoff runs that we made that year, games, yeah.
No, what's cool about that is a lot of times you think back, oh, it was the kick that I made in Buffalo, or it was another big kick in the playoffs, which obviously were big kicks, but it was actually the one in preseason
right. That
took you to the next level. And I think that relates to so many things that we do, that it's not all about just that big moment, but what allowed you to get to that big moment? What allowed you to get that big moment is that preseason kick that most people wouldn't even think twice about, right? But for you, it was that big moment. And I think that's... it's pretty amazing. Are you, do you help today, you know, in helping kids and helping others, with their kicking career? How do you look at that, you know, from what you've learned and then trying to give that to other young, and it might even be kicking. It just might be just other young athletes that are out there that are trying to develop their career. What you've gone through, because,
right.
What it is. It's no joke, I would imagine. I mean, you could be in your driveway playing against your son and you got to make the shot. And if you miss it, you lose. If you make it, you win. Right. So it all relates, but you know, just how you've helped out people because you've been at that elite level.
It's kind of twofold. The first thing is, you know, to get at that level is very, very challenging. And, you know, you have to have a passion for it, first of all. But, you know, when you get to that level, a lot of times guys really, they do a lot more work than they're supposed to or should really. And I've already said it already, with you today that, you know, I always felt like I needed to dumb things down, and it really came down to that. I wanted to take some, you know, the movement of kicking a football and kind of simplify it in a way that was easy for me to do. And it's difficult for some people to do that, and because obviously the intention is to you're getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of times, you know, these guys these days, of course, but you know, to kick a football through these yellow pipes, and if you put too much pressure on yourself, you end up second guessing yourself and ended up, you know, doing things that you're not really doing. And I've always had this motto of, you know, first of all, dumbing it down, but second of all, just on game day, don't do anything more than I need to. And it's almost like you've got the adrenaline, you've got the excitement of the game. You kind of just let that kind of take over as far as your power, and don't do anything different than you did on the weeks of prior to that game. You know, it's game day is, you know, the field is still 100 yards long and the goalposts are still 18 feet, 6 inches wide. They look a little different because it's in a stadium and, you know, the wind might be a little different, but as far as what you need to do, as far as a kicker is concerned, is nothing, absolutely nothing different than you did in practice a few days prior to that, or even the years, months prior to that. You just do what you do. And I think sometimes guys get caught up into second guessing themselves and trying too hard. You know, and the thing too is with my form of technique, it's different than most guys would do. And I could talk for hours on it, but I'll spare you the hours. But you know, with regards to the technique, like I said before, I'm not the biggest guy, you know, in the NFL, and never really was at all. I was probably one of the smallest guys, and may have been the smallest guy, but As far as my technique is concerned, I needed to use my entire body really to kick the football. And to do that, it's different as far as what I'm teaching guys now in my kicking academy is so much different than most kids. Either common sense tells them, or unfortunately, there's other coaches out there that are teaching these kids to do things that they're already going to do anyways, which is a lot of lateral motions and a lot of lateral movements. And I'm a very straightforward sort of kicker and coach. That's a twofold thing too, as well. It's a straightforward motion is also straightforward as far as understandable. And sometimes it's tough to teach a guy that they don't want to change what they're used to doing. And that's something that I did a long time ago. I changed a lot of what I did with kicking, and I'm very fortunate and blessed that I did, because I would never have made it if I was kicking the way I normally would kick as a kid. And I had a coach in the name of Jim Gattano who came out to my high school and started working with me. And he went away for a couple of years, my first couple of years in college, but then came back to Spokane, you know, Washington, where we both grew up. And ever since he came back, I think it was back in 92, I started working with him, and I've been working with him ever since. And he's the head guru at our Proform Kicking Academy. So he's kind of the head coach there, and we're passing on what we know, and we know it works, because, you know, as Jim says, you know, these guys come in and they kick, and you know, says, well, you know, if Mike was, you know, 6'4", you know, 210 pounds, and he kicked the ball through the uprights and kickoffs every time, you'd say, well, yeah, he's a big guy, he's really athletic, but I'm not. So something in the technique is doing, you know, the right stuff. It's working, and it's just a matter of convincing these kids. And you know, I'm almost 47, but I can still get out there and kick the ball around and demonstrate for these kids and show them, you know, what we're talking about really works, because it doesn't make sense at first, but then once I show them and demonstrate it, it opens a lot of eyes. And it's unfortunate that a lot of kids are still being taught, you know, these bad techniques. And, you know, it's become a little political in the kicking world, to be honest with you.
I can imagine. There's just, you know, there's so much there, what you just talked about. And one of the things that I think the main takeaway too is just simplification, you know, simplification of what you're doing. Like you said, dumb it down.
Yeah.
And make this thing much easier, because there's a lot of noise out there. And there's a lot of noise in many different ways. I mean, you know, people telling you what to do, people overcomplicating it, you know, people on the outside telling you what to do. And it's got to be difficult. How do you block that out? And everyone's going to have a different way of dealing with it. You know, in kind of, I want just multiple directions we can take this. One direction I want to start with is just being back. Cause it's like, hey, let's look at Mike. Mike's been in the NFL. He had a long career, and made some amazing kicks. And like you said, and all that you had to go through. I mean, just like you just said, like preseason, you're like, I'm just want to get another contract. Just want to be here another year.
Right.
And then the travel that's involved with it, and then dealing with the fans, right? Like showing up to Buffalo for a big playoff game. And it's like, people are throwing snowballs at our bus. You're like, what's going on here? Or people heckling you, your own fans just getting frustrated. You miss a kick and you lose the game. And it's like, that's it. He's the worst kicker ever. Right. Let's move on. But there's so much you have to deal with, whether it's at that level of being in the NFL or being a high school kid that is just trying to make it through and has all these different people telling them what to do, because like we just talked about, there's so much noise out there,
right,
that it's important that they find someone, a mentor, a leader, someone they maybe don't even meet ever, but they watch their videos on YouTube or Instagram, can help them so much. But there is a lot of noise. So how did you deal with that? Was it just as simple as what you said, dumbing it down? But there's other factors. It's not just your form and technique anymore. It is all this outside stuff that's happening, which is coaches and, you know, your agent or the fans and all that kind of stuff. Like, this is a lot to take on for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, it was difficult. And of course, we talk about social media. I'm kind of happy that I wasn't, you know, social media wasn't as prevalent as it is nowadays, you know, when I was playing, because there's a lot of stuff I'm sure that a lot of people will be, you know, saying, and, you know, there's a lot of ways to communicate and tell everyone how bad, you know, Cody Parkey is. Oh my gosh, I could have made that. And then, you know, the Chicago Brewery goes out and has that. And I don't know if anybody ever made the 43 yard attempt that everyone said they could. And it leads me to my next point, is the fact that, you know, it's people who would badmouth, you know, me or anyone else. More times than not, which I'm saying like 99% of the time, these people have no idea what really is going on. Like there's a lot of like very knowledgeable so-called knowledgeable people out there as far as knowing things about the sport and football and contracts and the NFL and the rules and all this stuff. And believe me, I've met them all. And they'll start telling me, you know, what they think. And I'm just like, this guy is so far off. It's not even remotely true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there are guys like that, that kind of, you know, think that they know what they're talking about. And, you know, for me is, and I was fortunate that I didn't have a lot of games where, you know, I missed kicks, important kicks. And I wasn't, I did my job and I did fairly well. And I wasn't, not very many times was I ever, you know, that I've heard that I was ever bad mouthed or anything like that. And, you know, that was fortunate for me that I didn't have to deal with anything like that. But in the times that I did, I just, you know, you have to brush it off and think, well, that guy's not in my position and, you know, he doesn't know, or she has no clue what she's talking about or whatever. And even in games, and I got this great advice from Brian Barker, who was actually an amazing mentor for me. He was the punter for the Jaguars for the 6 of the 7 years I was here. And he was also my holder. So he was, 4, 5, 6 years in the league before I got in the NFL. So he basically took me under his wing. And one of the things he told me is like, you know, as much as you want to explain to the coaches, you know, as far as a miss or what you think you did, you know, just not in a bad way. Don't make an excuse, but make an excuse so you know it really wasn't, you know, something that was a bad thing. Like there might have been a bad snap or a bad hold, you know, but you want to make sure the coaches know that, you know, hey, I should have made that, you know, my bad, you know, I need to work on, you know, something and kind of get their mind, you know, make sure the coaches know it was your fault. And in your mind, it really wasn't, you know, you can, you know, and another thing that I've always, you know, really tried to focus on every day is, you know, take advantage of any opportunity that I have. And as long as I'm doing the best I can under any circumstance, and if I can look myself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, you know, I did the best that I could under the circumstances I was given, then I'm okay with that. Even if we lost, even if I missed an important kick or whatever, as long as you can convince yourself that you did the best you can, and it really you don't have to convince yourself, you just do the best you can, and just know in your heart that you did everything you could to make that kick or whatever the situation might be in the real world, in the work world, you know, whatever a project, whatever, hey, I worked really hard on that project and it didn't turn out. Well, I did my job. I did the best I could. And, you know, we'll just let the cards fall where they may. So it's really not making an excuse per se. It's just making yourself feel a little bit better about, you know, the situations that you're in and you know, knowing that you did the best you could.
That's it, man. And I appreciate you saying this. I mean, there's so many people that need to hear it, and ourselves included, right? You probably have to, like you said, tell yourself that all the time and remind yourself of what you're working on. But you took it to that next step too, which is because you're talking about it from the standpoint of an NFL kicker. And then you're taking it to the project, the business world, and which is what you eventually had to do, right? You play your NFL career and you play for a certain amount of years, and then it's time to move on. And you're still a young man. It's got a lot of things you want to give back, whether it's in the kicking world or another aspect of business. What was it like? So you're in the NFL, and then all of a sudden now it's time to, you know, it's over. It's time to move on from that. Cause you live in this incredible, everyone thinks, right? It's the lap of luxury. It's the greatest thing that you could possibly do is playing in the NFL. But now you have to transition from going from sports into the real world for you. And I'm sure everyone's got a different experience of what that's like. What was that transition like for you?
It was challenging. I won't lie. It was a little challenging. It was tough. What people don't realize is, you know, you go to college and you get a degree, and you play football and you don't really necessarily use your degree. Some guys, you know, might do some stuff in the off season, but you know, these days the off seasons are so short and you really don't have a lot of time to do a lot. Plus you want to, you know, travel and vacation and spend time with your families and all that. So, you know, when you're playing, the longer you play in the NFL is the longer you're out of kind of the real world. It's, you know, your peers in college are so much further ahead of you when you retire. I played for 9 years and then I'm like, okay, well, what should I do now? Well, my degree is now obsolete. I'd probably have to go back to school to get recertified and just do all the, you know, probably have to take more classes in order to, you know, utilize that degree because I didn't do anything for 9 years. Plus, I forgot a lot about it, you know. So, and to be honest with you, I never used my degree. Not like I didn't have to, but I just kind of, you know, I've been in sports all my life. My degree was, you know, physical education, sports science and health and wellness. So I kind of, you know, I still, you know, retain, you know, a lot of stuff from that, but I don't necessarily per se use that degree for the work I do. I'm kind of an entrepreneur, to be honest with you. I do a lot of variety of things, and you know, just trying to find ways to make money, survive. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, playing in the NFL, if you look at your whole life in a timeline, the years that you play in the NFL, even if it is 9 or 10 or 12 or, you know, 15 years, it's really a sliver of your life. You know, you got to think about it. It's a very, very small portion of your life. So definitely you have to do something to, you know, prepare for the long haul. And I didn't, be honest with you, I didn't do very much to prepare for that. When I retired, it was kind of a slow transition into retirement, because I got injured and I was able to collect a little bit of money for the year after I was injured and at the time I retired as well. So I didn't have to really jump into something, and I did fairly well with my finances at the time and so forth, but I did get burned in the real estate markets. Well, we won't mention that, but
yeah.
But you know, it's challenging. It's challenging, and a lot of times it's you know, you figure. And one of the reasons I did come back to Jacksonville is I have a lot of, you know, met a lot of people, and I was here for 7 years playing with the Jaguars. I have kind of a name in the community, and you know, it's you know, you have to kind of, you know people here and there. But it really wasn't all about who I knew, because I didn't really get a lot of opportunities when I moved back here. I kind of just had to start from scratch and start doing things that I felt was what I had passion for and that I felt was good to make money in. And I never stopped. I mean, I'm a true entrepreneur. I don't want to spread myself too thin, but there's a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of different things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could tell just from the mindset that you had as a kicker that entrepreneur was kind of a part of you. You doing things your way and had a thought process that made sense for you. And then you went out there and executed on that. So you kind of play it out in the real world. But you've seen that a lot. It's a big conversation right now. You know, branding's become so big ever since, you know, in the last few years, for anybody in the athletes as well. You know, athletes have this platform that they're on, and they're able to take advantage of it if they want to start building their awareness around what their interests are. And it could be sports, it could be something unrelated to sports. I mean, you hear about it all the time. You know, NBA is obviously in soccer and in football, you know, these marquee players, and just anybody in general is getting out there and branding themselves. It necessarily wasn't going on at the same level as it is today. And, you know, I think it's athletes like yourself that saw the opportunity, got back into the business world, and have now taken advantage of it. Are you in touch with current athletes as they are embarking on their NFL journey and continuing through that journey, and then eventually knowing that, hey, that career could end at any, you know, on one play, or their career could end soon, right? Or do you have contact with athletes today as to what their next step is in their journey?
You know, I don't communicate too much with regular players. I mean, I, if anything, it'd be, you know, some kickers here and there that are playing some, you know, professional football at whatever league. And, you know, it's kind of strange. I mean, sometimes those guys just kind of just go off and you never hear from them anymore. And, you know, it's one of those things where they get busy, and it's, you know, it is the NFL world, NFL life and all that. But, you know, I don't really communicate a whole lot with these guys, and and honestly, the NFL has done a really good job. And I think every team's got, you know, some help in that department where they're helping former players, or actually current players at the time, helping them with the post career, you know, with retirement and what happens after they retire and, you know, from football. And I think that there's more emphasis because of guys like us speaking up, like, hey, you know, you better prepare yourself for your post career, you know, now. Do it while you're playing football, because when it's done, it's done. And I was obviously a victim of not doing that as far as the right way. But, you know, I think there's a lot of help within each NFL city and team for their current guys in that department. And so I imagine that there'll be, you know, a better opportunity for guys, you know, after they retire from these days forward, you know, when they retire from football, it'd be a better transition, because they're probably better, well prepared for that transition than I was. So, I think that I got a lot of support.
Yeah. Well, it's you speaking up. You haven't, you know, even being on a small podcast like this and then chatting with other people, you know, we've chatted with, you know, athletes that didn't make it. You know, there's been a lot of five-star recruits that are coming out of high school and go to college, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out for them, right? It's people peak at different times. There's injuries. There's who knows. There's many different things that happen, or they were miscalculated. Who knows, right? But, you know, at some point you can go down that path and get ready for whatever else might exist for you. Or maybe you lose your love of, like you said, if you don't have a passion for that sport anymore, we've seen people quit at the peak of their career and said, I just don't love it anymore. You know, I want to go do something else. Yep. I feel like I was meant to do something else. And that's okay. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. But it is interesting to watch people that are really taking advantage, because nowadays you don't need a whole lot. You need maybe a phone or computer, ideas, and go out there and execute. Yeah. Communication. Can you talk to somebody? And can you get going on whatever that idea is? The freelance world's right. huge. I mean, you can open up a kicking school like we've talked about. I'm sure I could open up a kicking school tomorrow, right? I feel like I was a pretty good kicker, right? But right. And I'm going to compete with you. And it's amazing. I'm not doing that, by the way. But, you know, there is opportunity out there. And I think athletes in general, like you said, you're showing up when it's cold outside, when it's extremely hot outside, you have to do it. You have no choice but to go to the gym, to do the thing. So you have this conviction in your beliefs and your abilities that you can go out there and stay consistent with it. So it translates a lot of time to the business world. I mean, there's no denying the fact that a lot of companies like to hire former athletes. So I think doing all that makes a lot of sense. So it makes sense too that you have athletes that did or even didn't make it kind of get into the world of entrepreneurialism or just business in general. And people like yourself speaking up and talking about your journey, where you are, where you went, and where you are and now, where you are, what you're working on today. I think it's a fascinating story to reconnect with someone like you and see what you're up to. And so the Kicking Academy that you're doing, what's your favorite part about it in working with kids, and what type of kid, what age kids do you work with?
Well, we work with all ages, really. You know, and the thing is that, you know, the kids that, that come in that are dedicated, that really want to learn it, and the parents are fully behind them. And, you know, we've got a mix of certain kids, some that kind of are there just because their parents want them there. And there's others that are there because they want to be there. And then there's the high tier that that comes in that are the ones that just really, they want to make the NFL. They want to work really hard. They want to, you know, do everything right. And the parents are supportive and all that. And those are kind of the best kids that I think that we like to work with, because they are open-minded and they understand that, you know, the technique that we're teaching works. It's just a matter of kind of creating the habits and making some big changes for most kids, for a lot of kids. But you know, it's rewarding to see the kids go off to college and do really well. And, you know, and then they, you know, say something maybe on social media about how they helped their career, and that, you know, you helped them. And you know, it's rewarding to see that stuff. But, you know, it's in the long run, it's good that, you know, I was fortunate enough to be taught this stuff. And now the guy that taught me, of course, Jim Gattano, and myself, we both are just passing on all this stuff. And we actually learn more as we go. You know, there's little drills and stuff that we kind of think of as we go. And, you know, and it's funny because if I had 4 back surgeries when I played football, and that's the primary reason why I retired. But I'm pretty healthy now, and I'm in shape, and I still kick. And Jim Gattano always says, you know, oh, Mike's back didn't hurt him, he would still be playing today. And I think he'd be better today than he was even back then. And and I kind of agree. I'm like, man, you focus on the technique so much, and you're trying to teach kids exactly what to do, and you end up doing them a lot more and more detailed yourself. So that's a good thing about it. But I'm 47 almost, and I won't be playing football again, I'm sure.
Well, you don't want that guy coming around the edge, right? It'll be very late and take your leg out. You don't need that. That's not good. Technology, as it relates to kicking, I've seen on your website, for example, I could send in videos, for example, of my kid kicking, and you could analyze their tape. I mean, the technology's changed so much, and it's just getting faster and faster. But I could say, hey, I can send it to a former NFL kicker, and he can review it and give me tips and insights, and we can talk about it. Obviously, it's helping kids, right? I mean, you and your school are taking advantage of that.
Yeah, you know, it is helping kids, but like I said before, it's a process. What we teach is a process, and the unfortunate part about this process, it's a change, and some kids just are not okay with that. And to be flat out honest with you, there's a lot of camps out there, that go on during the whole entire year that, you know, reward kids for coming in and just kicking the football the way they do. And they might tell them a thing or two about, you know, differently about what they need to do. And there's guys out there with all kinds of philosophies, you know, everyone kicks differently, we're not going to change you. And I don't really agree with that, because they're we're very prideful in what we teach, and the stuff that we teach, we believe is the most effective and efficient way of kicking a football and punting a football. But the process of learning that is different than kids want to actually give into. They don't want to go out and I've had kids come into camp and I said, well, if you feel like you went to a camp and you didn't learn anything, then why'd you go? Like, then there's a lot of kids that say, well, yeah, 'cause I asked them, like, oh, so what'd you learn at that camp? Well, I really don't know. I mean, you talk about where the plant foot should be, but I'm like, well, you didn't. And then when they leave my camp or my class, I said, so what did you learn? He said, wow, geez, I learned, the backswing. I learned all this stuff, the body position, the momentum, and there's a lot of things that they can, tell me that they learned. And I don't understand how kids can go out there and just go to these camps and have fun, because they're doing what they were doing before the camp. And then after they left the camp, they're doing exactly the same thing they did before they went to the camp and at the camp. And there's really no change. And, the coach walks away with a couple $100, like, okay, great. What'd you do? So it's unfortunate. There's a lot of camps and coaches out there that just kind of do that. And it's just really, it's kind of, not real good, because they're doing a lot of showcase camps and they're just, paying, these kids are paying these coaches to go out and get ranked. And, these kids are, if they don't perform well and they don't get ranked, then, they're just out all that money. And even if they do get ranked, it's all kind of a, subjective sort of thing, where these coaches are just ranking these kids because they like them, or they, pay them more money.
Yeah, well, I've talked to NBA scouts. I've talked to some other scouts before, and they say, it's like, well, what do you think of the ranking system? Scouts and Rivals. And he's like, they're great because it's entertainment and it's great. He's like, but from our standpoint of what we're looking at, we think it's a complete joke. We could care less what they think. I am a scout, and here's what I think, and I rank this guy this, and this is the star rating I gave him, and I could care less what someone else at ESPN thought of him, for example. This is just, like you said, it's what does the coach, that specific coach, think? But I also think you have this opportunity, this marketplace where youth sports has taken to this crazy level, and youth sports being from, when you're very little up to probably end of your high school career. And you're taking advantage of, let's say, parents and kids that, like you said, that fall into this trap of, oh, I have to be ranked. Or if my kid goes to this camp, he's going to be considered elite or whatever that is. Or I can tell that story and I can put that on Facebook. And, that's just another way of bragging or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's just the market, right? That's the economy saying, we'll pay for that. And I think that, like you're saying, I think I can sense it, that you're having the frustration with it. We're like, no, we really want to teach these kids how to kick the ball, how to do it right, how to walk up there with confidence and use their fundamentals to get it done, as opposed to, don't just give me your money just to give me your money. And because I took advantage and I found a loophole in the economy. And that can be frustrating.
Well, it's unfortunate, because, our philosophy is if you kick well, they'll find you. And all these kids are so relying on these camps to get ranked and get their name out and get exposure from these camps. But, they might have one good showcase camp. They might have gone, 15 of 15 on field goals that day. Well, the rest of the days that they kick, they're not that great. And although they're ranked high because of the one time they did real well, and the fact that they might have kicked line drives the whole time. There's a lot of different variables that are important with a good kicker. And if you just look at the paper and look at the stats and you don't actually see the ball being kicked, and more importantly, in my opinion, if you don't see the guy kick, the guy could be all over the place with his form and just happen to get lucky that day and went 15 to 15. And now all of a sudden he's, the number two ranked kicker in the nation. Well, he's got terrible form and the ball is coming off his foot really low and wobbly. Well, he's not number two in the nation. He's probably number 200 in the nation or something at that point. So there's a lot of things you have to look at as far as a coach is concerned. We look at kickers and punters, and mindset, mental mindset and things like that are very important as well. So it's just unfortunate. There's a lot of that going on right now. And I feel sorry for these kids if they they have that entitled mentality, and I don't want to see that either.
No, you don't. But I think it's good that you're out here, you know, and you help one kid, and that makes a difference. You know, it sounds cliche and cheesy and all that kind of stuff, but it does. It makes a difference. You know, if you tell me this, you know, and I have a son, he's a soccer goalie, and you hear about this all the time, and you hear about all these different camps and showcase camps. So you're saying, and how to do this and how to do that. And you're like, oh my goodness, how could this kid not be confused because he's being told seven different ways how to do this one thing? You know, and that's just one aspect of the position. And it's like, this is crazy. And it shouldn't be like that. But I think, you know, you having this message, this can impact someone in business because of the stuff we've talked about, like a field goal kicker, a punter, someone playing soccer, another sport, whatever that might be. I think it makes a difference. So just continue to encourage you to, you know, keep this message out there. I'm glad we could chat and you could share your awesome stories. Unfortunately, the one story you have is the day you beat the Bills. And I don't think the Bills have won a playoff game since before that. So it's kind of crazy, but it's a lot of fun. It's been amazing chatting with you. What I want to do is get into some quick question, quick answer, if that's okay, and then get you out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. If you were never going, if you never went into professional football, what career do you think you would have went into?
I don't know. Probably like, I'm techie, software development, and which I kind of am a little bit. I'm managing partner at a software development company as well. So I kind of took that road as well. So yeah.
There you go. Well, so your software development company, tell us a little bit about what you do there. Or what your software development company is. Yeah.
Yeah. What we do, the company's called Oroy Tech, but we are meal prep tech is our baby right now. Meal prep tech is a software. It's kind of a business management software for the meal prep industry. So what we like to do is find niche markets and create a business management tool for those kind of companies. We were the first to market, as far as, for the meal prep industry. So this business management tool we make is specifically designed for meal prep companies. And it, basically we do the front end and the back end. So we'll provide a website, and then the back office, of course, will give you the shop page. And then the real deep back office will give you all the reports and the CRMs and the merchant accounts, the processing, the customer information, driver tracking, you know, kitchen features where, you know, when companies are, or when customers are actually making an order on your website as your meal prep company, every order that comes in that week prior to the cutoff date, our system will tell the cook how much food to actually cook for that next week's of orders. So it takes away all the spreadsheet and all the manual labors, that cooks and business owners had to do prior to us having the system. So we like to find that niche market, where people are looking for something specific to run their business with.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an incredible niche right now. Meal prep. And I think you're in two great businesses, meal prep and field goal kickers. I think everyone needs one of those, right? I mean, No, it's a great business to be in. It makes a lot of sense that that's what you would be in and what you are actually doing today. So it's pretty cool. So if I'm not mistaken, you actually played for a year with the Buffalo Bills. Do you remember your time there? What was it like playing for the Buffalo Bills organization?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I remember, there's a lot of fun times. You know, Brian Moorman was my teammate and close friend. You know, he's a punter and obviously my holder as well. So we kind of hang out quite a bit, you know, kickers and punters and holders, we all, and snappers nowadays, you know, they all kind of hang together. Yeah. I didn't have one of those. I didn't have the luxury of having a dedicated snapper back in the day. So, you know, these guys are pretty fortunate for that. But, Danny Smith was our special teams coach, and he's now with the Steelers as their special teams coach. And what a great guy. The guy is just so much fun. And it was a lot of fun. It was, kind of stressful. Greg Williams was our head coach. Great guy, you know, real intense, you know. But it was exciting, you know, it was a little cold, you know, it was weird because, you know, every day during the week of practice, it wasn't too bad. And then on Sunday, we're driving to the game and we're seeing the big American flag on the road and at the gas station, the corner of, you know, Hamburg and whatever road, I don't remember the name of the road, but this American flag is blowing up. It's blowing vertical. That's how bad the wind is at the time. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday. It's game day. Are you kidding me? And, you know, you dealt with the circumstances, you dealt with the elements and, you know, some days I approach game day like, I'm just going to kick the ball and kind of see where it goes.
Right. It's just hope for the best.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the best attitude to have, really.
Yeah.
It was fun times. The indoor facility was great, you know, and the big barn, you know, and I had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, no, it's a college atmosphere. I mean, you don't get a lot of that in all the different NFL stadiums out there. I mean, it's just a blast.
Yeah.
It's not in the city of Buffalo. It's in Orchard Park. So it's like, for anyone who hasn't been there, it's like, you know, 20, 30 minutes away from the city. But the tailgating atmosphere is just, it's very, unlike what you would find in many NFL stadiums. Just a lot. You walk in, it almost looks like it would have held at the time. I think it's like high 60s, right? 60,000 people. But, you know, when you were there in 96, it would have been like probably close to 80,000 people would fit into that. And it's just, it's not. So the atmosphere is phenomenal. I think it's pretty cool that you got an opportunity to play there and play at some other stadiums as well, play some other organizations as well. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun, a lot of crazy fans too. So maybe one day the Bills will get back into it. So you're obviously building business, you're a software company, you got your Kicking Academy. What is your favorite social media app for business?
Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because you can share videos and images and all that, especially with the kicking and getting out there and connecting with people as well? Or are you taking advantage of the direct messaging that's in there?
Well, I just think it's more millennial, more like, well, from a kickers, there's a lot more kickers on Instagram than there are on Facebook anymore, but it used to be Facebook. But, Instagram's really easy. It's, you know, and I don't do a whole lot on them, but, you know, I use it for my, for the meal prep company as well. So, you know, it's simple to navigate through. If you have a few different accounts, you can kind of go through each account and just kind of touch base with people and communicate. And there's a lot of businesses that are looking, you know, using, you know, Instagram. Even the research we do on meal prep companies, most of them for sure have Instagram, and a lot of them still have Facebook as well. But sometimes you'll find that there's a lot of them don't even use Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's just Instagram.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, we hear people a lot and they're like, well, why would I want to be on Instagram? You know, that's for kids or people sharing pictures. And like, no, you'd be surprised. How many people are actually on it and not just on it, like on it a lot. So,
yeah.
I mean, and their engagement there is pretty amazing. Going back to sports real quick. I know you're busy. You played in it. So I'm not sure if you are a fan these days, but if I could only give you one sports team to root for the rest of your life, which team would that be?
One sports team, no matter what sport.
Yeah. Anything.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've always been a Jaguar fan. I'm part of the, Jaguar ambassador group and do a lot of stuff in the community. So I'm definitely a diehard Jaguar fan, but, you know, I'm a football fan in general. I'm not crazy. If it's on, I'll watch it, but I don't, go crazy to watch it. I'm not throwing stuff at the TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, football, you know, in general, but yeah, probably the Jaguars. Yeah. I mean, they were my first team, though, the one I spent the longest with. And, I'm back here in Jacksonville as well. So.
Yeah. Well, they've had a great run. They didn't have the year they wanted, I know, this year, good organization. And a guy you've mentioned often on this podcast, Tom Coughlin's back with the organization and obviously done some amazing things wherever he's been, it sounds like. So I'm sure there's a lot of positives in the future for the Jaguars.
For sure.
You mentioned this before, so I kind of know this one. Like you go out there and you just kick the ball and it is what it is. And you're not going to go back and make any excuses to your team. But was there a moment that you could look back and said, you know, I needed to make it happen and I'm not going to give myself any excuses?
I mean, there's been some short kicks that I missed that I'm like, you know, kind of the duh moment. Like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just did that. In Buffalo, I had one game, I think I missed, two kicks, I think that, was right before a bye week. And it was a bad bye week for me because I think we lost the game and I had a terrible performance and I was just like, you know, I was down and out, but you know, it's tough, you know, and again, you gotta be prepared for every moment. And again, you just have to take responsibility for those times that you're not performing as well as you should be or could be. And, I missed a kick when I was with the Bills. Actually, I'd kicked a 54 yarder to put us into overtime against the Minnesota Vikings. It was in Minnesota, probably the loudest stadium I've ever played in at that time, of course, because of kicking a 54 yard field goal with like 1 second left to tie it up to put us in overtime. And I hit the crossbar and went through. And then I get an opportunity for a 44 yard kick to win the game. And I totally yanked it. And I'm just like, why did I just do that? I was like, you know, 3 for 3 in the game or 4 for 4 in the game, I think prior to that. And then I missed the 44 yards. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
I want to know what I was saying at the time, actually, now.
But we did win the game.
Yeah. it's amazing that you remember and you're able to talk about not just like, oh, the kick that I made versus Buffalo, but the kick that I missed as a Bill that, you know, really could have not lost the game for him, but could have been a contributing factor to why we lost. And, you know, and you laugh about it and you move on and you can't make all your kicks, right? You talked about it, like great year you had was over 30 for 36. And it's an incredible year, but you missed six times. And that's an entrepreneur that I think that's coming out on you and saying, I missed. I screwed up on this thing. I didn't think this one through. I didn't do a good job. But, you know, kind of going back on that question it's the excuse thing is like, there are no excuses. If you're a kicker, there are no excuses. Oh, so what? The wind's blowing up and now all of a sudden it just switched and it's coming right at me. And that just changed as I was running up to the ball. What am I going to do about it? Like, I'm going to blame the wind. You know, I'm going to blame the stadium and call somebody. No, you're just going to get up and keep doing it. So that's an entrepreneur in you coming out. I think it makes a ton of sense. And I mean, I'm just fascinated by it. It's always great chatting with, you know, someone with such a great background like yourself and still doing it today. So, I mean, we really appreciate the time, Mike, that you've come on here with this podcast and the stories and, you know, hopefully you can get this message out and we can help you get this message out to young kickers and any kickers and people in business to, you know, keep kicking and don't make any excuses, right? What is the best way people can get a hold of you to learn about just what you're up to and your kicking academy and everything else you have going on?
Well, ironically, probably through just social media.
Yeah, it's that easy.
Yeah. Instagram is Mike Hollis NFL, and then I've also got Proform Kicking as Instagram handles, and then Meal Prep Tech is another my software development baby right now, and you know, Facebook would be Hollis Mike, and then I do have Proform Kicking on Facebook as well, Proform Kicking on Twitter. So yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you're there. Well, we'll put that all in the show notes too. People get a hold of you. Well, Mike, like I said, again, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. Great stories. You got a lot of good things going on. We're excited to keep watching what you're up to and keep kicking them.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Mike, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your stories from the NFL to helping kickers and entrepreneurs simplify what they do, we're all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Mike on making no excuses and taking the next step in your entrepreneurial journey are now perspectives you as the business leader can use for yourself. And for that, Mike, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Mike about his kicking school, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. Play my cards right. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.